How inverter variable speed minisplits work. Plain language explanation of how variable speed inverter minisplits ramp compressor speed instead of cycling, why that makes them efficient, and what changes for the tech compared to a fixed speed system. From the Launch My HVAC knowledge base. What it is. A conventional split system has one compressor speed, full blast or off. The thermostat closes, the compressor slams on at 100%, runs until it overshoots the set point, then shuts off. That on/off cycling is what you grew up troubleshooting. An inverter minisplit throws that out. The compressor runs almost all the time, but it speeds up and slows down to match exactly how much heat the room is gaining or losing right then. Think of it like cruise control on a truck versus flooring it and coasting over and over. Same destination, way smoother ride, way less fuel. How it works. The key part is the word inverter. Incoming power is single phase AC. The outdoor unit's board first rectifies that AC into DC, then inverts it back into a synthetic three-phase AC signal whose frequency it can dial up or down on demand. The compressor motor is a DC brushless BLDC or permanent magnet type that spins at whatever frequency the board feeds it. Lower frequency means slower compressor RPM, less refrigerant moved, less capacity. Higher frequency means more. The board reads indoor and outdoor temperature sensors, sees how far the room is from set point, and trims compressor speed continuously to hold it there. Because capacity is variable, the metering device has to be variable too. Almost every inverter system uses an electronic expansion valve EEV, a stepper motor-driven needle. The board opens and closes in tiny increments to keep superheat in range as compressor speed changes. There's no fixed piston and usually no bulb and spring TXV. The board is the brain. The EDV is its hand on the refrigerant flow. The indoor blower is typically an ECM/DC motor that ramps with the compressor, so airflow tracks capacity. At low load you get a quiet, gentle, continuous breeze instead of a loud blast every 15 minutes. In the field, a few things look different when you pull up on one of these. It almost never short cycles on purpose. A unit running for hours at low speed is normal, not a fault. Don't diagnose continuous low speed operation as a stuck contactor. There often isn't a contactor at all. There's usually no start/run capacitor and no contactor on the compressor in the way you're used to. The inverter board handles starting soft start, so inrush current is low. That's a selling point. These don't hit the panel with locked rotor amps. Amp draw is a moving target. Clamp the compressor leads and the number drifts because the frequency is drifting. To compare against a spec, you need the unit commanded to a known speed test mode or you read its steady max during a hard pull down. The board does the charging logic. You still set the base charge by line set length, but the EEV manages superheat dynamically, so the old set my superheat to 10 degrees at idle habit doesn't map cleanly. Trust the manufacturer's commissioning method, weigh-in plus line length adjustment over a single snapshot superheat reading. Normal values and targets. Compressor frequency range, roughly 15 to 20 HC at minimum up to 100 to 120 HC at full tilt, depending on model. Capacity at minimum can be as low as 20 to 30% of nameplate. Turndown ratio. Good inverter systems modulate down to about 25 to 40% of rated capacity. That deep turndown is why a 12K head can sip along holding a small room dead steady. Bus voltage on the DC link, often around 300 to 380 VDC inside the outdoor board after rectification of 230 VAC. Treat that as lethal and let caps bleed down before touching anything. Superheat, managed by the ADV, typically targeted in the single digits to low teens degrees at the indoor coil, but it's a controlled variable, not something you set by hand. Common faults and what they mean. Unit runs but never gets cold. Board shows no hard fault. Suspect undercharge or an EEV not stepping open. Low charge starves the coil. A stuck EDV does the same. Trips on high current / IPM fault under load. The inverter power module EGVS is sensing overcurrent. Could be a failing module, a high head condition dirty condenser, overcharge, non-condensables, or a partially seized compressor. Communication / serial faults between indoor and outdoor. Inverter systems talk over a comm wire, not just call for cool contacts. A miswired or corroded comm line, or wrong wire gauge over a long run, drops the conversation and faults the unit. Outdoor fan or compressor hunting. EDV oscillating or sensor reading wrong. The board overcorrects, often a thermistor that's drifted out of spec or popped off the coil. Tech tips and gotchas. The comm wire is not interchangeable with the power wire and polarity matters. Many systems use specific terminals often labeled 1/2/3 with 3 being comm/signal. Land them exactly as marked, Guessing fries boards. Inverter boards are static and surge sensitive. A nearby lightning strike or a brownout can take out the power module while leaving the compressor fine. Don't condemn the compressor before you've confirmed the board is actually delivering drive signal. Measure the compressor before blaming the board, and check the board before blaming the compressor. These two failures mimic each other. Isolate. Test/forced run modes are your friend. Most systems have a way to command max cooling or a fixed speed for service. Use it to get a stable reading instead of chasing a number that won't sit still. Low ambient cooling is built in. Many inverters can cool down into freezing outdoor temps for server rooms, so it's 40 degrees out and it's still running. Cooling can be completely normal, not a stuck reversing valve. Safety/code notes. The DC bus holds a lethal charge after disconnect. Verify 0 volts before servicing the power section. Disconnect sizing and the means of disconnect still follow NEC Article 440 for HVAC equipment. Honor the nameplate MCA/MOCP. A 2L refrigerants R32. R454B show up in newer ductless equipment. Follow the charge limit and leak mitigation requirements per the equipment listing and applicable refrigerant safety code before brazing or charging.